If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head and bear witness of God's Word. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You may be seated, please. Turn, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts, chapter 9. When you find your place, say, I have it. If you were here last week, you know that we spoke on a sermon called, What Can I Do For You? What can I do for you? We were able to see that that's a question that Saul, who later became Paul, asked Jesus as he was struck blind on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. We're going to be in the same passage of Scripture. It's just a different subject this week. It's a continuation of the subject, but it's called something else. And that's the way God wrote His Word, so we could get many, many things out of it. But back to the story, when Saul was struck blind on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We translated that, what can I do for you? We were able to say and look at our lives and see that we have people that ask us this question all the time. What can I do for you? Hey, how can I help you? What can I do for you? And really, you can tell when somebody is asking, but they don't really mean it, right? Have you ever had somebody ask you, what can I get for you or what can I do for you? And then when you tell them, they're not interested in doing it at all. Or this phrase, if I can do anything for you, let me know. And then when you let them know, there's every excuse in the world, right? Those people. But then we do God like that all the time. God, what can I do for you? And then when He tells us, there's a thousand reasons why we can't. So we looked at ourselves to be able to say, how many times do we say, Lord, what can we do for you? Like Saul did, who became Paul, but we don't really mean it. And when we ever get to meaning it, then something will happen in our lives and the lives of everybody around us. And we began to talk about this story, and we were looking at the life of Saul, and we were able to see that God makes us into a vessel to be used by Him. We look back in the book of Jeremiah, where we talked about being on the potter's wheel and knowing that He forms us, that we are of the dust of the earth, the clay that God makes into earthen vessels who, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a container that holds the Holy Spirit, right? We learned all that. If you remember that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, good. So today, I want to shift our focus from Saul, who became Paul, to the person that contacted Saul, who became Paul. The person that contacted him, that went to him, the person that God called to go to Saul, his name was Ananias. Can you say it with me?
Ananias.
One more time. Pretty fun to say. One more time and enjoy saying it.
Ananias.
Ananias, right? Ananias. I want you to remember his name because Paul gets a lot of credit for everything that went on in the New Testament, and he should. Paul was the author of so many books of the Bible. He was responsible for the New Testament church. Starting there in the New Testament, he gave us the rules of order of worship. He gave us so many things. He was responsible for spreading the gospel on his different missionary journey, which is why us as the Gentiles have an opportunity to come and worship today. The gospel was spread to us, but not just Saul. I need you to look at the man behind the story. His name was, say it with me,
Ananias.
Ananias. And Ananias was told in Acts chapter 9 that Paul... Excuse me, and I'll say it like I did last week. If I say Paul instead of Saul, it's because I've read the rest of the story and sometimes my mind just jumps to there. So I'm going to go ahead and say it one time. I mean Saul. So that'll cover me the rest of the sermon, okay? All right. So Saul was contacted by this man Ananias, and we hear the story in Acts chapter 9. I want you to read with me in Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 20. It says, there was a certain disciple, a certain what?
Disciple.
Disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand upon him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath the authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name, on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. Saul was one of the most religious people of that day. But the most religious people of that day hated Jesus. They followed the law, and the strict law, which said you needed to be good enough, you needed to follow these things, you needed to make sacrifice. But Jesus came to do away with the law. He established the second to do away with the first, is what the Bible tells us. He came to do away with the law so that we could have fellowship with God and be able not just to cover our sins for a while, but to have our sins forgiven forever.
Amen.
How many people in here know that you are a sinner, that you have sinned? The Bible says that we're sinners. We're not righteous. So what God did was God made it easy. He said, I'm here. You are here. You're a sinner. I'm holy. You can't have anything to do with me because you have sin in you. I'm guilty of that. If you're guilty, say amen.
Amen.
So we can't get to God because of our sins. So he sent Jesus to make a way, not a temporary way, but the way, right? He sent Jesus to live on this earth a sinless life so that he could die as a ransom for our sin, so that he could pay the price for our sin, so that he could become the Lamb of God who made atonement for our sin, so that if we come to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. I believe my only way to you is through Jesus Christ. I accept that he died for me. I accept that he was buried and that he rose again. I believe that. I don't just say it, but I believe it. Now, I need my sins forgiven. God, would you use the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ to forgive my sins. I accept that he did that by my belief. Then what happens at that particular time is that God sees your belief, he sees your confession, and then the death of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial death and his life, gives you new life in him.
Amen.
How many people have experienced that?
Hallelujah.
At that particular time, when that happens, you become a vessel of God.
Amen.
Now, we read in this account that was written by Dr. Luke, we read that Ananias was told, go to this man, Paul. He is my chosen vessel. I have chosen him to be my vessel. We learned last week what a vessel is. It's a container, right? Something that holds something. He's been chosen to be my vessel. But what we don't think about is that Ananias had to be a vessel for God in order to reach Saul, who was to be a vessel for God. So as much as we know Saul was a chosen vessel, Ananias was a chosen vessel to go to Saul, who is going to be the next chosen vessel. You say, what are you getting at? Well, I'm getting at what we're going to talk about today in this sermon, and that is vessel-to-vessel ministry. You say, what in the world is vessel-to-vessel ministry? I've never heard of it. Well, I haven't either. It just came to me as I was sitting pouring something from one vessel to the next vessel, and I thought, this is the way it works. And then as the Bible wraps around that, I was able to see somewhere in this picture of vessel-to-vessel ministry is my vessel. And if I'm not pouring out, then the process stops.
Amen. That's right.
Ananias, he was the vessel that poured out into the chosen vessel, Paul. And we're going to learn that something poured out into Ananias. So we're going to talk about this man, Ananias. And I want you to see that it's not just this account. Do you realize that Saul, later on, when he became Paul, this is pretty neat. He was in the temple in Jerusalem praying. Now, this man had persecuted a lot of Jews, but everybody knew this man, Saul, that became Paul. And they had their eye on him because he made a lot of people mad. He went around talking about Jesus being the only way. People hated him. They saw him praying in the temple, and they bum-rushed him. They ganged up on him. They drug him out of the temple. They were going to stone him. They were going to beat him. They did begin to start beating him. And he was creating a riot in the town because there were so many people gathered around. Well, the town at that time, Jerusalem, you remember back from Christ's day, it was under Roman rule. So the Roman chief of police, you might as well say, the chief commander, he rushed in because there was a riot, and he got Paul away from the grasp of these people, and he was taking him off to prison, and he thought, well, he's a troublemaker or whatever. And while Paul was being drug out, where other people would have said, hey, listen, get me away from those, he says, stop, can I say something? Hey, hold on a second. Since we're on the top step, can I say something? And Paul said this in Acts 22. Listen. He said, this is what I used to be. This is what happened to me. Verse 4, he says, "And I persecuted this way," talking about Jesus, "unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness in all this state of the elders, from whom I also received letters unto the brethren. I went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound to Jerusalem for to be punished." What he was saying is, listen, all this is true. I was the chief religious guy. I sought after Christians who professed the name of Jesus. I hunted them down all the way to Damascus when they left Jerusalem. I would break into their houses. I would bind them. I would take them to prison. Even Stephen. Remember Stephen? He was in charge of his stoning. He was saying, I was this guy. I had authority to go and do this. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and came nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around me. I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that there were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him that spoke with me. Now, this is true. The other passage tells us they heard, but they didn't understand. It wasn't audible to them. Now, listen to what he says. He says in verse 10, And I said, What shall I do, Lord? That's last week's sermon. Remember, what can I do for you? He's given an actual account, right? But it doesn't just stop there. He tells about this other vital part. I want you to read with me. And it says, And when I could not see for the glory of the light, he was blind. He was led by the hand of them that were with him, and he came to Damascus. Now look at verse 12. And one named what?
Ananias,
a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which were there, which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. That same hour I looked upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Hey, chosen, right? That thou shouldst know his will and see the just one. The just one is Jesus. And that you should hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And that's exactly what Paul was. He was a witness to what he had seen and heard. But let me ask you something. Those of you that are saved, have you ever seen anything that God has done in your life? Then your job is to bear witness of that. Have you ever heard anything that God has spoken to you? You've been in here and God spoke to you and said something or gave you peace. Have you heard that? Then your job is to bear witness. If you're a vessel, like Paul is a vessel. Now, did Paul continue to speak about what he had seen and what he had heard? He did. And God chose him to do that. So now that we've got all that background out of the way, and we read the account of what happened between Saul and Ananias as told by Dr. Luke in Acts 1 and by Paul himself as his testimony in Acts 22, I want you to look at some of the details of this event. It's pretty neat. So go back to Acts 9. I want to show you in as quick order as I can, and as simple order as I can, how big a deal this is. You see, when we look at the details of this event, we're going to see the basic foundation for vessel-to-vessel ministry. And it's pretty simple. We see that in this encounter between Ananias and Saul. If you look in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, you will see the first way that Ananias is described to us. So go back to Acts 9. Listen to how Ananias is described. It says, And there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Now, did you see the description in that sentence? A certain what? You said that word a minute ago, right? That was the first description of Ananias. What is a disciple? A disciple is a true follower of Jesus Christ. What we would call today a believer. Now, when we give the definition of disciple, we would say, well, there was Matthew, right? He was the tax collector. We could go on down the line. We could say there's Peter. We could say there's John. We could list off the disciples. But those were just the 12 disciples that followed Jesus. If you and I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and the Holy Spirit enters into us, we are supposed to be a follower of Jesus. As a matter of fact, when you admit to God you're a sinner and you say, save me, you are agreeing to be a follower of your belief in Jesus Christ. That makes you a disciple, a believer. So here's what I want to tell you. Number one, in order to be a vessel that can minister to another vessel, vessel-to-vessel ministry. In order to be a vessel, number one, you have to be a disciple. Do you realize that you can't be a vessel that ministers to another vessel unless first you are a believer that is following Jesus? You're going to see why this is important, but just the logic of it tells you this. Think about it. How could you pour out into someone else what hasn't been poured into you to begin with? Right? Number two, the next thing that we're told is that the Lord spoke to him in a vision. You say, why is this important? Well, number one, he was a disciple. Number two, the Lord spoke to him in a vision. What does that mean? Well, do you realize that there are a lot of times that you and I, we think, well, we want to minister to this person. Here's how we're going to go about it. But when it says the Lord spoke to Ananias in a vision, I want you to take this away from that. That what the Lord told Ananias to do was not Ananias' plan. It was the Lord's plan.
Right.
You see, this is different than us. Here's what we say. Let's say we're a parent. You know, I'm a parent, so I can speak to this. Let's say we're a parent, and God tells me that I need to minister to my children. And I know that my children need to be doing this, or maybe they need to be involved, or they need to be in church, or they need to be, this is what I need to impress. But I say in my mind, what I hear a lot of the world say today, well, I don't want to press God on my children. I think I should go about it. I should reasonably talk to them. If they don't want to go to church, they're not going to go to church. Okay? So here's what happens. That person said, this is the way I'm going to go about it. Well, is that wrong? Well, I don't know. Here's what God said to do in Deuteronomy. Here's what God says to do and follows it up in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, Deuteronomy, he says, listen, talk to your children when they rise up, when they go to bed, put it on the doorpost, talk to them when they come in, when they go out, when they get up, when they lay down, talk to them all the time. Be instant in season, out of season, make it a conversation in your house. That's pressing it on them. That's God's plan, right? So what we're saying, when we're saying, hey, I'm going to go about it this way, we're saying, I'm not following God's plan. This is the way that I'm going to do it. So what Ananias would have said if it was his plan is, hey, God, listen, I've got a better idea. I hear this guy, Saul, this cat's killing people left and right, binding them. I've got a better idea than me just going in and saying, hey, Ananias here. You see, number one is that you have to be a disciple. Number two is you have to follow God's plan, not your own plan of ministry.
Amen.
Churches today have their own plan of ministry. You know, in the Bible, Paul preached, he told Timothy, he said, as a pastor, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering. You're supposed to preach the gospel, be instant, in season, out of season. You're supposed to stay true to the word of God. Do you know that the church has left that model today? And they believe that you can be a church that goes in and here's what we're going to do. Everybody sings from this right here. We're going to talk a little bit, but it's not going to convict anybody. We'll make sure that we don't offend you. Everybody can leave with a feel-good kind of message. We'll give you a cookie and coffee on the way in. We'll pat you on the back on the way out, but make sure that you're not offended. And here's the way we're going to do it. Is that what God told Paul to tell Timothy? No. He said sometimes you're going to go to church and be offended because that's God speaking to you and you're a child. Sometimes I'm offended. As a matter of fact, I'm guilty of it. He has to preach to me before it even hits you. So which way is right? God's way is right. Ananias had to follow God's way. So number one, you have to be a disciple to vessel ministry. Number two, you have to follow God's plan, not your plan. Number three, Ananias was willing to answer the Lord. Notice here, the next thing we hear Ananias say is, I am here, Lord. Is this a big deal? It is a big deal because a lot of us so-called disciples and believers are not willing to acknowledge that God is actually speaking to us directly. Have you ever been talking to someone and you know they heard you, but they're purposefully making like they didn't hear you?
Oh, yeah.
It starts as a child. Bring me that. If I don't hear you, then I'm not going to do it. If I don't act like I'm listening to you, I'm not going to do it. Right? And, you know, we get like that. As a matter of fact, we get like that a lot. You have to think. Ananias was willing to answer the Lord. I'm here, Lord. But do you know why so many Christians do not accomplish anything for God? It's because we pretend that we don't hear him. It goes back to that, what can I do for you? And God is speaking and he's saying that. As a matter of fact, how many people this morning, just a survey, just an informal survey, how many people this morning had the thought when you got up, I need to go to church? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Most of you, right? Now, question, elementary. Do you think the devil told you to go to church today, or do you think the Lord told you to go to church? Okay, now, at that moment, you have an opportunity to act upon that and say, yes, I do. I hear you, Lord. I'm going. Or, man, it's pretty outside. Could do this. I just went last week. I've went a couple of times. Right? You have an opportunity to say, Lord, I hear you. I'm on it. You say, first, you have to be a disciple. Secondly, it has to be God's plan. And thirdly, you have to be able to hear the Lord, willing to answer the Lord and say, hey, I'll do it. Those three things are key for you to be vessel to vessel ministry. You say, well, is it important for us to be vessel to vessel ministry? Well, it is, and I'll tell you why. And I've used this before, but this story really hit home to me. You know, I was in high school. While I was in high school, you had lockers in the hallway. I don't even think you have lockers anymore, right? Because you don't have books anymore. But we had books, these things that you open up and, you know, this and that. That's before the government tampered with them and we had real history in them and all that. That's another thing, okay? So we had the true story, like, unfold and all that. Not what we were being. That's another. Mike, that's another sermon, right? All right. So we had books. We kept them in lockers. So my locker was on a certain hallway. Well, hey, the last year of high school, there was a guy that moved to town, and his locker was right over my locker. So a lot of times we're standing there. It's like, it's two guys. It wouldn't be too cool if we're both in our lockers together. So I say, go ahead, you know, get your locker. I'm going to stand here and be cool while you get your locker, and you're going to be cool while I get my locker. But I knew this guy. His dad got a job at the company in town, and so he came to our school, and his locker was beside of my locker. End of story. You think that's a simple story. Well, here's the deal. This guy passed away some years later, and I don't think it hit me until I got back with the Lord, the gravity of this situation. He came to our school. His locker was beside of my locker. I'm pretty sure he wasn't saved, but I know for sure that I never told him that I was, and I know for sure that I never shared the gospel with him, and as he became one of those people in my life that I should have poured into, I didn't. So here's the story. I'll never get to again, and God had a purpose for having our lockers above each other. You say, you think God had anything to do with this? Listen, God is the one that orchestrated his dad to get placed in that company so that they could be transferred to the school district so that he would come to the school and his locker would be beside of my locker. Even down to the interview that he did, God placed the person that he would be interviewed to get him. You say, you believe in that? I believe in God's providence, that he doesn't make any mistake. And I believe that during that scenario, I can see myself as the one that got poured into but never poured out. You get what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, number one, I was a true disciple. Number two, the Lord spoke to me, and if anything, I would have had a different plan. I didn't go by God's plan. And number three, the times that the Lord said, say something to him, I pretended I didn't hear him because I was busy. Now, I want you to listen to how specific the directions were that God gave Ananias after he acknowledged that God was speaking to him. You see, he said, I am here, Lord. But if you look at verse 11 of chapter 9, something pretty neat. He told him these different instructions. Number one, he said, arise. Arise. Let me tell you something about that word, arise. Let me see if you can respond to it. I'm going to say it to you, okay? One word. I want to see what happens. Arise. That's good. That's good. Now, you've seen the definition. You may be seated. Let me tell you the definition of arise. You move to action. When you arise, you left your resting position, right? So that's what he's telling him. Leave your resting position. In order to have vessel-to-vessel ministry, leave your resting position. Leave your comfortable position. Do you know what it took for you to get up? Some of you a lot more than others. I could tell. I was looking at your face. But listen, you had to leave your resting position. Do you know that vessel-to-vessel ministry requires for you to leave your resting position? Number two. Listen to these instructions. Go to Straight Street. Hey, look at verse 11. Hey, Ananias needs you to do something for me. Arise first. Get up. Get to getting. Let's get ready. Go down to Straight Street. Where's Straight Street? Straight Street runs through the middle of Damascus. From the east gate to the west gate is called Straight Street. But not just that specifically. I want you to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Now, everybody knows where Judas lives. Go down there. It's beside the old Lincoln that's sitting there with three tires and it's missing the one tire. Everybody knew where Judas lived. He said, go to Judas. He's pretty specific, right? Here's the street. Here's the house. Listen, he says, you'll know you're there. When you walk in, there'll be a man named Saul and he'll be praying. Pretty specific. Now, how arrogant would Ananias have to be to say, can you be more specific? I think there's a better way. No, if he really knew God and loved God, he would have to know, hey, God has taken care of all the details. He's done. He's told me everything, right? This is what he says to Ananias on top of that. I have shown Saul that there'll be a man named Ananias that will be coming to him to lay his hands on him so that he can receive his sight. What does this show? This shows God's orchestrative hand working behind the scenes to achieve his purpose. You see, God is wanting to pour out his spirit upon Saul, so that Saul can receive his spiritual sight. Not just his physical sight, his spiritual sight. It's not about him being able to see. When Ananias came, Saul was able to open his eyes and see things he never was able to see. He followed the Lord in baptism. He was able to directly go out and be able to see those that were around him. But he was able to see what God wanted him to do. We see that in the life of Saul. You see, God sent Ananias as a vessel, so that the chosen vessel, Saul, would receive his spiritual sight. How did he do this? He went and poured into him. You see, here's the thing. Ananias is the vessel that had to be used in order for Paul or Saul to be the vessel. You say, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you. It has everything to do with me. Because this is vessel-to-vessel ministry. And this is how God works to pour out His Spirit upon all of mankind. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is the presence of God? When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into you. But do you know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? And Romans 10 says that you can't hear unless somebody preaches to you. And it doesn't have to be a preacher. It can be anybody else that's willing to pour out. And what he's trying to say, look at the big picture here. You can't be poured into unless there's somebody in life willing to pour out what they have. That's why he tells us to be the light. That's why he tells us to be the salt. But let's talk about what's getting poured into and what's getting poured out to. You see, the Holy Spirit, that is the presence of God. So if I were to look at what's in this vessel to be poured out, I would say, well, God is the source of this life-giving water. Wouldn't you say that? God's the source. It's not some evangelist somewhere. It's not some preacher. God is the source. Now, God wants to get what He has to me and you. And He wants to get it to the people that are in your life also. So God is the source of this water. We listened to the children. They were able to go through it, right? The children had their cup. Their cup was poured out of my cup. My cup was poured out of the pitcher. The pitcher came from the fountain. The fountain came from the well. The well came from the spring. And the spring came from who? God was the source. Now, Jesus is the first distributor of this life-giving water. The life-giving water, well, that's the Holy Spirit, right? That's what indwells. That's the presence of God. Jesus is the first distributor. What do you mean? You see, Jesus is the main vessel that God uses to distribute the water to the rest of all the vessels in the world. If you take Jesus, the vessel, out, you can't get what God has. And the world today is trying to take Jesus out. They want you to believe in this source of so-called deity. They want you to coexist with every other person that believes in this and believes in this. But let's take Jesus out. Let's not say his name. If Jesus, the vessel, is taking out, you will not transfer living water from God to any person's cup without the first vessel. That's Jesus. So I want us to look at this in a tangible thing as far as vessels and water, right? Amen. Now, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want to show you a little bit of scripture. You don't have to turn there. I just think that this will just spark something in your mind. I want you to think about what Jesus was telling that Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. I mean, he spoke with this Samaritan woman, and let me read it to you. John 4. Listen to verses 11 through 14. Just listen. This is Jesus having a conversation about this. So he pretty well paints the picture. Listen, verse 11 through 14. It says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou hast living water." You know what? This woman is telling Jesus, hey, Jesus just told her, I'm going to give you living water. And the woman says, hey, man, you don't even have a vessel to draw water out with. You don't have anything. That well's deep. How can you get water out of this? Listen to his answer. He goes to explain. She says, are you greater than your father Jacob? In verse 12. In verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, Jesus answered her. He said, hey, lady, I'm not talking about liquid water. It only satisfies your thirst for a little while. I'm talking about spiritual water, which will eternally give you life. And then he says in verse 14, this water that I shall give you, I don't need a vessel. Hey, lady, I am the vessel. How cool is that? I am the vessel. You said, how are you going to get this water out? I was sent to be the vessel that got the water from him to you. That's big, isn't it? I never saw this in this story, so I start thinking about vessel to vessel to vessel. This was a vessel to vessel ministry to the Samaritan woman. And he was explaining that I'm the first vessel, lady. If it doesn't come through me, it can't get to you. And I've got water that's going to satisfy you a lot more than this water that you're talking about. You see, and once he pours that water to someone else, then that person, as it says at the end, get this. Once he poured that water into her, once he pours that water into you, then you have a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Then what is your job once you get that well poured into you? Your job is to go and pour into somebody else. Vessel to vessel ministry. So what happens if you choose, for your reasons, not to pour? Well, then the process that God put in place stops at your cup. Is that a big deal? Only if you care about being judged by God. You see, this vessel-to-vessel ministry, God used his son Jesus to be that vessel that you have to get your water from if you want to be the vessel for God. No other way to do it, but it has to be where you recognize Jesus as the vessel that God sent and the life coming through him. Jesus put it more simply in a verse in John 14. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You can't come to God by being good enough. Use that as something to go in your vessel. You can't come to God by your parents being good enough. You can't come to God by saying, I pass this class, or I do my devotions, or I give to this cause. No, you have to come through Jesus, the way, the vessel. You have to get poured from his vessel, right? to apply it to the sermon, you're going to see that Paul became this chosen vessel that God used to change the world, but Ananias was the vessel that God used to change Paul. Everything that we know that Paul did for the Lord as a vessel is a result of Ananias being used as a vessel. This is vessel-to-vessel ministry. This is what we're supposed to be doing, being a vessel for God, pouring into another vessel so that they can become a vessel for God that pours into another vessel. You say, well, you need to be doing that, preacher. I do. I failed at it. You say, well, teachers need to be doing that too. They do. Guess who else? Do you know that as a parent, you are called on to have vessel-to-vessel ministry with the little vessels that came out of you? Do you know that it never stops, vessel-to-vessel ministry? Your job is to keep pouring Jesus into them. You know, as grandparents, it's a vessel-to-vessel ministry with your grandchildren. I talked about classmates. If you're going to school, God sets you there to have vessel-to-vessel ministry. It can't stop at your cup. Co-workers, you think God's just randomly got you working beside of those people? No. Why? Your job is vessel-to-vessel ministry. And here's another one for you. You want to receive the blessings of God? You want to have things start going your way? You want to see things and say, I can't believe this happened today? Start obeying God in vessel-to-vessel ministry, and He will pour His favor upon you. Pour His favor upon you. You'll have things work out that you can't explain. Why? Because you spoke up at the guy's locker that was beside of you that God orchestrated so that you could speak to him and pour out what God poured into you. And you didn't use the excuse of saying, I just can't right now. I'm looking the other way because I've got all these things, or I've got another plan. My neighbors that live beside of me, what's my job? Vessel-to-vessel ministry. Church workers, co-workers, co-workers in church, vessel-to-vessel ministry. We need you ministering to these children. We need you ministering to the youth. We need you ministering to ladies that have been married a while, to young married. We need you mothers ministering to young mothers. We need fathers ministering to fathers. That's what the book of Titus tells us. That's what the church is about, vessel-to-vessel ministry. When are you saying we should do this? Here's an answer for you. Whenever you have a chance to pour. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Do you know there will be people that will be put in your life? Let me take you back to this story. There'll be a man named Saul who's expecting you. Don't you know for every cup that you're supposed to fill, God will bring that cup in front of you to fill? It won't be your job. God will put that cup in front of you to fill. Now, Jesus, before He left this earth, made a statement to us. We call it the Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The end of the earth. I'm with you. Here's what you have to do. Go. Tell, arise, leave your resting position, and then go and tell what I've said. Tell, teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's what He's saying, right? Go and pour out. So my question to you, number one, first and foremost, are you a vessel of God? If you are not a believer, a disciple, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, you can't be a vessel. You have to come through the main vessel. You have to come through Jesus Christ. You have to accept Him as the only one that can pour into you. And you cry out to Him and you're able to say, I am a sinner. I knew You died for me. I want the Spirit of God to live inside of me. I want the eternal life that comes with it. I want the fellowship of God. So I accept Jesus as my Savior. Please use Your blood to cover my sins, Jesus. Come into my heart. Pour into me the Holy Spirit, and Jesus will pour into your cup. And you will never thirst again according to Him. But you are not made to be a container. You are made to be a pouring vessel. A container has a lid on it that will keep it. But Jesus gave a little lesson to a couple of people one time that he gave some talents to. And he said, hey, for you that put a lid on it and stored it and hid it in the ground, I'm going to give yours to somebody else. Your job was to go and pour out what you have and invest in me. You remember that story? You see, it all comes together. Jesus was teaching vessel-to-vessel ministry. So I would ask you, first of all, are you a vessel for God? Which means, are you a disciple of God? Are you a follower of God? Not just in name, are you a true follower of God? Number two, are you listening to the leading of God? You're not turning your head, are you? You're not hearing what he's saying and saying, but God, or just pretend you're not listening. I'm too busy. And number three, are you willing to say, Lord, I hear you. I'm on it. It's not my plan, but I'm on it. Are you pouring into others? Our purpose as a child of God, as a Christian, is to be a vessel for God that he uses in his vessel-to-vessel ministry. How are you doing in your vessel-to-vessel ministry? Pray with me. Father God, I love you. I praise you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would paint this picture in our heart, on our mind, that we would be able to look at ourselves this morning as Christians here, knowing that you sacrifice so much to pour into us, Lord. God, maybe we've not poured it out the way we need to. Maybe we've looked away. Maybe we've had our plan, but nevertheless, we're not filling a lot of cups around us up. God, I pray as your children fall on their knees before you this morning, Lord, that you embrace them and that you give them power to be able to see this and you restore them. And as they rededicate their life to you, God, I just pray that you would minister to them and, Lord, refurbish their cup so that they can pour out and let them have this in their mind. God, move in this service today to Christian believers that are here. And God, for anyone that's here today that doesn't know you, that's never accepted, that's never been poured into, I pray, God, they would see their condition today and accept your son, Jesus, the water that he has in his vessel. I pray, God, today they would see their condition and ask for that salvation. Lord, move in this service, I pray today in Jesus' name. Amen.